Good morning, everyone. I am so happy to welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you've joined us here as a participant in this spiritual oasis of inspiration. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's continue in song with hymn number 436.
Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly love, with light and comfort from above. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside. Be thou our guide.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is scientific Christian science. The hymns that will be coming up will be hymn number 278 and 458. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and the correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. And now from the Holy Scriptures, Isaiah. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And now from Science and Health. Scientific interpretation of the scriptures properly starts with the beginning of the Old Testament, chiefly because the spiritual import of the word in its earliest articulations often seems so smothered by the immediate context as to require explication, whereas the New Testament narratives are clearer and come nearer the heart. Jesus illumines them, showing the poverty of mortal existence, but richly recompensing human want and woe with spiritual gain. The incarnation of truth, that amplification of wonder and glory, which angels could only whisper, and which God illustrated by light and harmony, is consonant with ever-present love. So-called mystery and miracle, which subserve the end of natural good, are explained by that love for whose rest the weary ones sigh when needing something more native to their immortal cravings than the history of perpetual evil. As mortals reach through knowledge of Christian Science a higher sense, they will seek to learn, not from matter, but from the divine principle God, how to demonstrate the Christ truth as the healing and saving power. If patients fail to experience the healing power of Christian Science and think they can be benefited by certain ordinary physical methods of medical treatment, then the mind physician should give up such cases and leave invalids free to resort to whatever other systems they fancy will afford relief. Thus, such invalids may learn the value of the apostolic precept, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. If the sick find these material expedients unsatisfactory and they receive no help from them, these very failures may open their blind eyes in some way sooner or later. All must rise superior to materiality, and suffering is off the divine agent in this elevation. All things work together for good to them that love God, is the dictum of Scripture. The student who receives his knowledge of Christian Science or metaphysical healing from a human teacher may be mistaken in judgment and demonstration, but God cannot mistake. God selects for the highest service one who has grown into such a fitness for it as renders any abuse of the mission an impossibility. The all-wise does not bestow his highest trust upon the unworthy. When he commissions a messenger, It is one who is spiritually near himself. No person can misuse this mental power if he is taught of God to discern it. A knowledge of the science of being develops the latent abilities and possibilities of man. It extends the atmosphere of thought, giving mortals access to broader and higher realms. It raises the thinker into his native air of insight and perspicacity. Why are the words of Jesus more frequently cited for our instruction than are his remarkable works? Is it not because there are few who have gained a true knowledge of the great import to Christianity of those works? Our Master easily read the thoughts of mankind, and this insight better enabled him to direct those thoughts aright. But what would be said at this period of an infidel blasphemer who should hint that Jesus used his incisive power injuriously? Our Master read mortal mind on a scientific basis, that of the omnipresence of mind. An approximation of this discernment indicates spiritual growth and union with the infinite capacities of the one mind. Jesus could injure no one by his mind reading. The effect of his mind was always to heal and to save. And this is the only genuine science of reading mortal mind. His holy motives and aims were traduced by the sinners of that period, as they would be today if Jesus were personally present. Paul said, to be spiritually minded is life. We approach God or life in proportion to our spirituality, our fidelity to truth and love, and in that ratio we know all human need and are able to discern the thought of the sick and the sinning for the purpose of healing them. Error of any kind cannot hide from the law of God. Late in the 19th century, I demonstrated the divine rules of Christian Science. They were submitted to the broadest practical test, and everywhere, when honestly applied under circumstances where demonstration was humanly possible, this science showed that truth had lost none of its divine and healing efficacy, even though centuries had passed away since Jesus practiced these rules on the hills of Judea and in the valleys of Galilee. Although this volume contains the complete science of mind healing, never believe that you can absorb the whole meaning of the science by simple perusal of this book. The book needs to be studied, and the demonstration of the rules of scientific healing will plant you firmly on the spiritual groundwork of Christian Science. This proof lifts you high above the perishing fossils of theories already antiquated and enables you to grasp the spiritual facts of being hitherto unattained and seemingly dim. Our Master healed the sick, practiced Christian healing, and taught the generalities of its divine principle to his students. But he left no definite rule for demonstrating this principle of healing and preventing disease. This rule remained to be discovered in Christian Science. A pure affection takes form in goodness, but science alone reveals the divine principle of goodness and demonstrates its rules. The term Christian Science was introduced by the author to designate the scientific system of divine healing. The revelation consists of two parts. One, the discovery of this divine science of mind healing through a spiritual sense of the scriptures and through the teachings of the Comforter as promised by the Master. Two, the proof by present demonstration that the so-called miracles of Jesus did not specially belong to a dispensation now ended, but that they illustrated an ever-operative divine principle. The operation of this principle indicates the eternality of the scientific order and continuity of being. Christian Science differs from material science, but not on that account is it less scientific. On the contrary, Christian Science is preeminently scientific, being based on truth, the principle of all science. To develop the full might of this science, the discourse of corporeal sense must yield to the harmony of spiritual sense, even as the science of music corrects false tones and gives sweet concord to sound. The Christian scientist, understanding scientifically that all is mind, commences with mental causation, the truth of being, to destroy the error. This corrective is an alterative reaching to every part of the human system. According to Scripture, it searches the joints and marrow, and it restores the harmony of man. Being its holiness, harmony, immortality, it has already proved that a knowledge of this, even in small degree, will uplift the physical and moral standard of mortals, will increase longevity, will purify and elevate character. Thus, progress will finally destroy all error and bring immortality to light. We know that a statement proved to be good must be correct. New thoughts are constantly obtaining the floor. These two contradictory theories, that matter is something, or that all is mind, will dispute the ground until one is acknowledged to be the victor. Discussing his campaign, General Grant said, "I propose to fight it out on this line if it takes all summer." Science says, "All is mind, and mind's idea. You must fight it out on this line. Matter can afford you no aid." The notion that mind and matter commingle in the human illusion as to sin, sickness, and death must eventually submit to the science of mind, which denies this notion. God is mind, and God is infinite, hence all is mind. On this statement rests the science of being, and the principle of this science is divine, demonstrating harmony and immortality. Consistency is seen in example more than in precept. Inconsistency is shown by words without deeds, which are like clouds without rain. If our words fail to express our deeds, God will redeem that weakness, and out of the mouth of babes he will perfect praise. The night of materiality is far spent, and with the dawn, truth will waken men spiritually to hear and speak the new tongue. Christian science reveals incontrovertibly that mind is all in all, that the only realities are the divine mind and idea. This great fact is not, however, seen to be supported by sensible evidence until its divine principle is demonstrated by healing the sick, and thus proved absolute and divine. This proof once seen, no other conclusion can be reached. For 3 years after my discovery, I sought the solution of this problem of mind healing, searched the scriptures, and read little else, kept aloof from society, and devoted time and energies to discovering a positive rule. The search was sweet, calm, and buoyant with hope, not selfish nor depressing. I knew the principle of all harmonious mind action to be God, and that cures were produced in primitive Christian healing by holy, uplifting faith. But I must know the science of this healing, and I won my way to absolute conclusions through divine revelation, reason, and demonstration. The revelation of truth and the understanding came to me gradually and apparently through divine power. The spiritual reality is the scientific fact in all things, the spiritual fact repeated in the action of man, and the whole universe is harmonious and is the ideal of truth. Only through radical reliance on truth can scientific healing power be realized. the terms divine science, spiritual science, Christ science, or Christian science, or science alone, she employs interchangeably according to the requirements of the context. These synonymous terms stand for everything relating to God, the infinite, supreme, eternal mind. It may be said, however, that the term Christian science relates especially to science as applied to humanity. Christian science reveals God not as the author of sin, sickness, and death, but as divine principle, supreme being, mind, exempt from all evil. It teaches that matter is a falsity, not the fact of existence, that nerves, brain, stomach, lungs, and so forth have as matter no intelligence, life, nor sensation. If Christianity is not scientific and science is not of God, then there is no veritable law and truth becomes an accident. Shall it be denied that a system which works according to the scriptures has scriptural authority? The Christianly scientific real is the sensuous, unreal. Sin, disease, whatever seems real to material sense is unreal in divine science. The physical senses and science have ever been antagonistic, and they will so continue till the testimony of the physical senses yields entirely to Christian science. The Christianly scientific man reflects the divine law, thus becoming a law unto himself. He does violence to no man, neither is he a false accuser. The Christian scientist wisely shapes his course and is honest and consistent in following the leadings of divine mind. He must prove through living as well as healing and teaching that Christ's way is the only one by which mortals are radically saved from sin and sickness. Question: what is the scientific statement of being? Answer: there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. In Christian science, man can do no harm, for scientific thoughts are true thoughts passing from God to man. Teaching or practicing in the name of truth, but contrary to its spirit or rules, is most dangerous quackery. Strict adherence to the divine principle and rules of the scientific method has secured the only success of the students of Christian science. Whoever affirms that there is more than one principle and method of demonstrating Christian science greatly errs, ignorantly or intentionally, and separates himself from the true conception of Christian science healing and from its possible demonstration. Any dishonesty in your theory and practice betrays a gross ignorance of the method of the Christ cure. Science makes no concessions to persons or opinions. One must abide in the morale of truth or he cannot demonstrate the divine principle. So long as matter is the basis of practice, illness cannot be efficaciously treated by the metaphysical process. Truth does the work, and you must both understand and abide by the divine principle of your demonstration. A Christian scientist requires my work, Science and Health, for his textbook, and so do all his students and patients. Why? First, because it is the voice of truth to this age and contains the full statement of Christian science, or the science of healing through mind. Second, because it was the first book known containing a thorough statement of Christian science. Hence, it gave the first rules for demonstrating this science and registered the revealed truth uncontaminated by human hypotheses. Other works, which have borrowed from this book without giving it credit, have adulterated the science. Third, because this book has done more for teacher and student, for healer and patient, than has been accomplished by other books. Absolute Christian Science pervades its statements to elucidate scientific metaphysics. Christian Science is dawning upon a material age. The great spiritual facts of being, like rays of light, shine in the darkness, though the darkness, comprehending them not, may deny their reality. The proof that the system stated in this book is Christianly scientific resides in the good this system accomplishes, for it cures on a divine, demonstrable principle which all may understand.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.